finding pregnancy support you can trust is worth celebrating. Getting it on sale is worth belting Beyonce in your car. That's right. Ritual's Black Friday sale is on. Support your body's new nutrient needs with their clinically backed prenatal multivitamin. Or give back to your gut with Natal Biotic, a probiotic supplement for trying, pregnancy, and postpartum to support digestive, vaginal, and baby's immune health. At Ritual, quality is top priority. All of their supplements are clean, third-party tested for heavy metals, and 100% made traceable. Because you deserve high-quality support at every stage of your pregnancy journey. Cut prices without cutting corners and get their best savings on their best supplements with 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pregnancy support. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm your host, Abby Luckett, and life has a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and many in-betweens, but the thing that remains consistent is our God. So let's see what we talk about today.
Keeps on running, running, keeps on running after me, yo. Yes.
Was that a sleigh? I think that was a sleigh. I'm gonna tell myself that that was a sleigh. Did y'all know that I used to do theater back in the day? Yeah, I used to. Hey, listen, my name's Abby. Said that in the intro, but I'm gonna say it again because that's life. I serenaded you with a Brandon Lake song titled Runnin', because we are going to be talking all about that today. It's a running update for you guys. Oh yeah. Last week I talked about how to balance running and balance and running. And this week I'm just going to give you a plain old running update where I'm at. I am marathon training and it's going to be really fun to talk about. But first, I need a moment of appreciation for my coffee color. If you're not watching this, you should be. But I'm not going to hate on you because we don't accept hate. Jesus doesn't hate, so I'm not going to hate. And that's a word. And that'll preach. I'm not a preacher, but take that for what you want. I'm going to take a little sippy sip. Oh, wait. Actually, I'm going to shake the coffee into the microphone. Do you hear that? Crisp ice. Update. Ryan actually edits the podcasts now and he hates. When I do like ASMR or any sort of like tingly sensation sound. So Ryan, this one's for you. I love you. Okay, I'm done. I do need to take a little sip though. This is an almond milk latte. It's malt vanilla almond milk. I usually use Califia Farms. I'm a diehard Califia Farms almond milk girl, but they didn't have any at the store, so I used Malk. Both those brands have really clean ingredients, really great ingredients, and that is what I am sticking to right now because I'll talk about it a little bit later in this episode, but my diet is consisting of nothing processed anymore, so much so that I cut out all of my monk fruit sweeteners, all of my stevia sweeteners, well, mostly my stevia sweeteners, unless it's pure monk fruit or pure stevia, because where these sweetener brands get you is, for example, they'll have like a monk fruit sweetener substitute and you're like, oh, monk fruit, great, like the sweeteners from a fruit, but the first ingredient is like erythritol or amylose or cellulose, or I don't even know what the words are, which is essentially just a fake sugar, and then the second ingredient is monk fruit or stevia, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm buying literally Splenda thinking that I am eating an apple. So anyways, I've cut that out. Maple syrup all the way. However, in this latte right now is pure stevia with nothing else. So I'm not being a hypocrite, but you can only have so much maple syrup in a day, people. Okay. Now that you know a little bit about me, it's time to ask you a little bit about you. What is up? How are you feeling? You can answer in your head. I will feel it through the screen, what you're telling me. And that's how we have a conversation right now in this moment. I'm feeling a little bit crazy today, but a good crazy, because by the time that you guys are watching this, you will know that Ryan and I are actually not moving to Austin, Texas. If you're new here and you literally just clicked on this podcast because you just wanted to listen to a random podcast, you have no idea who I am, then you can just disregard this, but I'll give you a little 5-minute spark notes. Basically, my husband and I got married in May, and then in June, we found out that we were going to be moving to Austin, Texas because he got relocated for his job. Long story short, he's not going to that job anymore.
What?
Yeah, actually kind of crazy. So we're staying here in Bowling Green and we're going to grind it out and work together, which I don't want to spoil too much. I think we're going to do a separate podcast episode on that. But listeners heard it first. We're not moving to Austin, Texas. And that's all I'll say about that right now. More to come later. But let's just say you guys will be seeing a lot more content from my husband, Ryan, here in the coming weeks. So that's really fun. Now, getting into the nitty gritty of the episode, we are going to be talking about running. So I've been running since I was 13 years old. I am 23 now. I just had my birthday on the 18th of September. And so yeah, that's a decade of running. And I started marathon training in 2022, but actually ran my first marathon in late 2023. So I've been marathon running for a little over 2 years now, if the math is mathing correctly on that, and ultra marathon running for about a year. I ran my first ultra marathon last year, and that is definitely my favorite distance. I love the ultra marathon. I love the marathon as well, and that's like majority of what I will do just because that's what I have most access to right now. And training wise, we don't really have a lot of like mountain ranges to train in, and majority of ultras are those like mountain range kind of things. And with an ultra marathon, you have to have like a crew and just a lot more prep. That where I'm at in life right now, I just don't see myself putting that time and energy into it. But at some point in my life, I definitely want to like go all in the ultra marathon space. Also want to do an Ironman, but I don't have enough money for a bike right now. So I need to figure that out. But I do want to do an Ironman soon because why not? But right now the marathon distance has my heart, but my favorite distance is the ultra marathon distance. With that being said, I had to cut back on my marathon training, which I talked a lot about last week, so I'm not going to go too deep into that. But I am back marathon training again, and life feels incredible. I absolutely love the thrill of training, and I might like argue that I like the training block more than the actual race. I don't know. That's saying a lot, but I don't know. I just don't like feeling super nervous. I remember this feeling in theater. I used to do theater, and I remember loving like opening night. You work so hard for a show that you perform for maybe like 3 to 4 days for a weekend. And I mean, you prep for like 4 months for this one show on a weekend. And the jitters that first night is actually insane. And it's a crazy, like electric feeling, but I also like don't like it. I don't know. I don't like the feeling of those like really intense nerves, but they're excited nerves. It's not like dread nerves, but there's just something so consistent about the rehearsal period for a show. And I relate that to running because there's just something so consistent, almost humbling, about a training block and putting on your blinders, locking in and being like, this is the goal that I'm working for. This is the thing that I'm doing. And then the day when you get to that goal, it's great, but it's just over so quickly. And I don't know, there's just so much beauty in the training block. I love training. So I'm in week 3 of training for this current marathon that I haven't announced yet, but I'm going to announce soon. Just have to tie up a couple bells and whistles. But it's just, it's like thrilling waking up every morning and being like another day of taking a step closer to accomplishing this goal. Now, I've always been someone who going into a marathon has like a soft parameter of a time that I would like to run it in, but I never have set out for a marathon saying I'm going to go for this certain time. My hard launch, hard goal of running a marathon every single time I've ever ran a marathon has always just been finish and finish strong. I want to feel good. I want to have fun. I want to finish strong. I don't want to sacrifice the real reason why I'm there for a temporary fulfilling goal that is great to work for, but is not equating to my worth or who I am as a person and as a believer. And what I mean by that specifically is I run races for Jesus, That is my reason. And whether you're a Christian or not, that can be kind of confusing. Like, what do you mean? Like, you run a race because you like to run? Well, yes, I love to run. Like, there are many other ministries that if I didn't like to run, I would choose. I'm not sitting here being like, oh, I like have no desire to run, but I'm just doing it anyways. Like, I love running. It's great. But I firmly believe that in everything we should do it for the glory of God. As believers, when you run with a higher purpose, there is just something in that race or in that thing that puts stuff into perspective. So when I go out and run a race, my main goal, the thing that is fueling me to run every 26.2 of miles of that distance, the thing that's fueling me is knowing I'm out here spreading the gospel. I want people to look at me and be like, look at her. She has a Bible verse written on her legs. Look at her. She shines the light of Jesus. Look at her. She's so happy. I wonder why she's so happy. To be a catalyst or a starting point for people to look at and be like, what's different about her? And then that opens up the conversation of who Jesus Christ is. Like, that's worth it for me. That's why I do it. That is why I do it. And not from a place of, oh, I know better because I know Jesus, and so I know better than you. No, it's from a place of, oh, I know the truth and I want you to know it too. I want you to experience this relationship that I get to experience every day. I want you to walk in the freedom that I get to walk in. I want you to accept freely the gift that I've accepted, and now I get to know the truth of that and go about my day-to-day life living in that truth and with that light and with that peace, even when life is crazy, and in that joy, even when life is sad. There's just something so motivating and fueling about that. That is my main reason of why I run. And so, yes, I will always have a standard of which I want to hold myself to physically and performance-wise. I do think there's a healthy level of that because I want to have a goal, and the Lord wants us to have goals and work towards things. So there's nothing wrong with having a set time, but I'm never going to I don't want to say never, but I don't see myself ever really, really publicizing a certain time goal or a certain pace vocally because I want the thing, I feel led that the thing that should be the loudest and the thing that should be the message and the thing where my heart posture should remain is that I am doing this for Jesus. Jesus has given me the ability to run, therefore I'm going to run for him. And I think that just helps keep me in check. I think it's easy to idolize a performance. I think it's easy to idolize ourselves. I've been in seasons where I've idolized my body and idolized my performance, idolized running, idolized so many other things over Jesus. And it fails every time. It's just not worth it. Like, I've tried it. And this is my personal testimony coming on here telling you it doesn't work. It's temporary. It's fleeting. It may feel cool in the moment or help you get through some sort of period of time. But the foundational truth of Jesus Christ, that is the thing that, like, I don't even know the words to say. It's just it. Like, that is it. That's why I do the things that I do. Point blank, period. I don't know how I went off on that tangent, but we're going to reel it in. We're going to get the lasso, throw it on me and reel it in. That sounds a little bit weird, but whatever. Anyways, so running. This is week 3 of marathon training. I have always set my own training schedule, and I still do-ish. I'm kind of combining it with the app Runna. I've never used the app Runna super, super diligently, and there's a reason for that. The reason is I've never really wanted to have a coach because if I didn't live up to their expectation or if I woke up feeling like I shouldn't do what was prescribed to me, I didn't want to not do that and then go through the day and be like, oh, well, I'm a failure. Because I just know my perfectionist type A brain will think that. And so that's a boundary that I want to put for myself to keep me in check, to keep me in balance, because I do have these ED tendencies and I do have these overtraining, over-exercising tendencies, and it's just an accountability thing. But I really do believe in the Runna app, and so I sat down with someone on staff and talked to them, and they walked me through a bunch of ways that I can make it personal to me. And so I've been experimenting with that during this training block, which has been really nice, really leaning into a lot of the mobility resources that they give, a lot of the strength and Pilates resources that they give, and then also just checking in with the speed workouts and those kind of things, but always putting first and foremost, what does God want me to do with my body today? And I know that sounds silly, and maybe like that's what the quote unquote Christian girl is supposed to say, but it's so true. Like, that is just what I'm doing. I wake up every morning and I'm like, okay, Jesus, like, this is the idea of how I want to train. What do you think about it? And I just listen and I wait, or I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me through my heart or my gut. And training has been going so great with that mindset. It really, really has. I have not felt this motivated, dedicated, or energized in a training block in a while. And I think that's just because I was in such a deep, dark place with it around the Boston Marathon training time period and engagement season. There was a lot that I was going through. And so I kind of forgot this like runner's high feeling that you get, and this joy that comes with running, and this connection with Jesus that I feel when I am on a run. I just lost sight of so many of those things because I was in such a deep, dark place. And I can't even really, looking back, explain or know why I got so deep and dark and running became such a just hard thing for me to navigate, other than I was burnt out. I was doing way too much. I was not recovering. I was forcing myself to do things that were not healthy for my body. And now that I actually am, it is such a joy to be able to go out and be excited for my run and not feel like, oh, this is the thing I have to do in order to feel worth for my existence of life. Like, I was at a place where I literally felt like I had to run X amount of miles every single day in order to have that day count for something. And I don't feel like that anymore, but I just feel motivated to go out and run. I feel happy to do it. And when I don't feel motivated to do it, I still do it anyways because I know that I have a mission. I know that I have a greater race to run, but in order to get to this race that I'm training for right now, I have to do it on the days that I may not feel like it. And yeah, sometimes the runs just stink, and that's fine. And that's okay, but at least I did it. But there's a difference between that feeling and the burnout feeling that I did feel. So if you're someone, maybe you're on a run literally right now, and you're running with the mentality and the spirit and the gut feeling that you are in a burnout season, or you are going to get burnt out, or, you know, you're just struggling mentally, or something's off and your gut is like, I think it has something to do with running. Please let this be your sign that, one, maybe you need to take a step back. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what to do. But two, you can get out of this. And the way that I got out of it was to take it away. I had to fully surrender all of the identity and all the idolization that I had stuck in running and stuck in not nourishing myself, because that's where I thought I was going to find my identity and my worth. And I had to surrender that at the Lord's feet and be like, Jesus, I have been holding this above you for so long, unintentionally, but I have been. And just getting so real with myself and fully taking it away. It's so uncomfortable in the moment and it's so hard, but what's the point of doing something that literally brings you misery just because you feel like it equates to your identity, when there is a true, alive Holy Spirit that is out there that actually defines who you are, and that is a life-giving thing. It's just so beautiful. And looking back at the girl who was so sad for every run and was breaking down her body, you know, looking back at that time, like, it's just really sad. And now where I'm at in this training block, I'm fully realizing how healed I am from that past version of me. And I feel made righteous in the Lord. Like, I feel so proud, not of myself, but just pride in Jesus of like, wow, like, he brought me out of this. Like, I did not do this myself. I said, hey, Jesus, I'm not doing too well and I don't know what to do. So I'm just going to stop everything that I am doing because it's obviously not working. And through trial and error and trying and doing and listening and being still, he got me out of it. He did, but it takes trust, it takes blind faith, and it takes discomfort. But in that discomfort, I felt peace. So it almost was a comfort in a weird way. And now in this training block, I'm doing a lot of things differently. One thing that I'm doing is I'm giving myself at least 2 hours in the morning to wake up and be a human being and be slow. I start my days slow. And that has been the biggest game changer for me. Prior to this, I would wake up in the mornings. I would usually read my Bible, but then I kind of got out of a rut of it and I would read my Bible after running. I was still doing daily Bible readings. Like, I'm not going to dog on myself too hard because I still was prioritizing Jesus. But if he's not the main priority, then are you really prioritizing Jesus? I'm going to let that just be what it needs to be right there. Okay. I mean, I'm calling myself out, but if you're saying you're prioritizing Jesus, but he's not the number one priority, what's going on? You know what I mean? So preaching to myself. Okay. Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh yeah. So in the mornings, slow morning. So previous to this, get up. And sometimes I still do this, like if I'm short for time or I know that I'd rather read my Bible later, or, you know, it's not, I'm not ever not gonna do this again, but there is a very, very big difference in my runs and how just I am as a person throughout the day when I start slow versus when I don't start slow. So previous to what I'm doing right now, I would get up in the morning and then just directly put on my running clothes, hop out the door. I wouldn't even eat anything before my runs, which that's another thing where I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I survive without eating something before my runs? That's actually crazy. What the heck? What was I doing? So yeah. And when I first started marathon training, I was, but then as I got deeper and deeper into it, when I say like the past me or old me, I mean within the past like 6 months where I was in a deep, dark place. Okay. So when I first started and when I first started making content, it was great. And I was doing things where me looking back at like that version of Abby was like, oh, okay, great. But when I say past me, I mean within like engagement season Abby and binge ED Abby and all those sorts of things. So I would wake up and just go out the door and run. And I mean, I was running like half asleep. I was listening to podcasts that I couldn't even tell you what they were about because I was so out of it. Like my brain was just not there. Like I was literally just trying to get through it. I was trying to do it in a mental state that I didn't know what was going on because I was so not enjoying myself at all and just forcing myself to do these things that I didn't want to do. Now what I do is I get up in the morning, usually anywhere from 5:30 to 6, make sure I get a minimum of 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep a night. That has been a game changer. I wake up, I make my coffee, and I put 2 to 3 tablespoons of maple syrup, which is great carbs, especially for people who aren't super hungry in the mornings. I'm not really hungry in the mornings, but when I pair like my coconut milk and my maple syrup together in my latte, and then sometimes I'll have like a date in coconut oil or, you know, whatever. But 2 to 3 tablespoons of maple syrup is pretty good for like carbs and calories to get you running, in my opinion. I'm not a dietitian or a nutritionist, but I do have a dietitian and she's fully in support of that. So, you know, have that account for what you will. And so I sit, I drink my latte and I read my Bible and I read a book and I post some stories on my Instagram and check up on emails or text messages that I missed. And, you know, maybe I'll do a little bit of scrolling, nothing crazy. I really haven't been scrolling a lot lately, but just give myself some time to get things done, do things and start peacefully and slow. And that, I think if I had to say the biggest change, that's probably number 2 on the list has been that. I mean, it has a drastic impact not only on my runs and my mornings, but the rest of my day. I don't have crashes. I don't have these random urges to just go take a fat nap. I'm not struggling to get through the day energy-wise anymore because I'm giving myself enough sleep and I'm letting myself start the day slow and actually be a functioning human being. My cortisol levels have gone down so much. I'm in a relaxed state when I start the day. My system is thanking me. I'm losing all this like water weight or water retention and like stress weight, which I'm not trying to lose weight, but naturally that's happening because my body is just more relaxed. And I think think a direct result, like the direct result from those things, is from starting my day slow. It's been absolutely incredible. The next thing that I've been doing in this training block is I have been eating different, and this is the number one thing that has changed the game for me. My runs, I haven't hit paces like what I'm hitting right now in so long. It's a direct result of my diet. I know it. Right now I'm reading the Biblio Diet. It's by Jordan Rubin and Dr. Josh Axe. I have talked about this book. I have raved about this book for so long. I actually have the book right here. It's a New York Times bestseller. I'm not sponsored. Everything I say in this podcast is not sponsored, but the Biblio Diet, it says live long, master metabolism, reduce pain, fight depression, and conquer cancer with healing secrets from the Bible. I just lost my place in the book whenever I opened it. It's fine. It's going to be okay. But it says God's design for eating and living will help you transform your body, mind, soul, and spirit. In this book, you'll learn the healing secrets of the Bible, including how to choose foods that will provide your body with the nutrients it needs to thrive, how to easily incorporate the ancient art of fasting into your daily routine, which it also gives a disclaimer if you have a past with EDs, as I do, that maybe fasting should not apply to you. But I do find the chapter about fasting very interesting, but that's not right. I read the book, but it is very interesting. Do I fast? No, but it's not a sin thing for me. It's just a heart posture. I know that I have a complicated history with not eating. And so yeah, that's my little disclaimer on that. But anyways, so if you do also have a past of EDs or a complicated relationship with food in that way, then I also, reader's discretion, urge you to read that carefully. But again, says that in the book as well, and it takes into account those things. So that's my blurb on that. Moving on, how to utilize a plethora of natural remedies for optimal health, an even proper way to cheat, yes, cheat, while continuing to lose weight and feel great, all according to divine design. In addition, you will understand how to incorporate exercise, essential oils, and mental wellness into easy to follow health plan that you will love. It's time to embrace God's plan for healthy living so you can live long and live well. Experience health freedom like never before when you learn to live like a bibliotarian. So basically, this book goes through and it breaks down how the Bible says we should eat, and then it backs it up by science. So it starts with truth and then it backs it up with studies from everyday life today. And what really got me interested in this book was thinking about how many extremes there are in life. There are so many extremes on social media today. And when I was really struggling with all of my food stuff, my runs were just horrible because I just was so lost in how to properly fuel myself. And so getting a dietitian and reading this book has been the absolute best thing because it starts with truth. And everything in my life, I base it off the Bible. The Bible will give you an exact, this way is how you do this, and this way is how you do this, roadmap of how you should live your life. So why am I trying to get how I should eat from other sources other than the Bible? The reason is because I just didn't know how to interpret what the Bible was saying on how we should eat. But now there's a book that does it for you. It's literally God-breathed scripture in this book telling us how we should eat, what we should eat, what our diets should look like. It helps you navigate the grocery store at a Kroger or a Walmart or a whatever, and get this food and not this food and blah, 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 blah. And it is actually changing my life. So I've been eating the Biblio Diet way. I've never felt better. My digestive system has never felt better. My energy levels have never felt better. My mental health has never been better. I was really sad for a while there. I was pretty sad and had a lot of mood swings and hormonal changes. I think I made a lot of lifestyle changes whenever I was healing and still am healing. I'm always going to be on a recovery journey, but I definitely think a really big impact was my diet. So anyways, all that aside, my training sessions have never felt better. And in this book, it tells you exact things you should eat for athlete performance, endurance performance. It talks about how eating certain foods have a direct impact on your performance as an athlete, which is really, really cool. And then just, you know, even if you're not an athlete or you don't do endurance or you don't train or you just try to maintain a base healthy fitness of just life and that's your goal. It talks about all of it across the board and just how to live a healthy lifestyle. So that's been the number one big change for me. And then starting my days slow has been the number two change. Sleep has been the number three biggest impact on my training for running. I was getting like an average of 4 to 5 hours of sleep there for a while. Back when I was in college, planning a wedding, I had two jobs and was also doing social media. There was a lot going on. I was not getting a lot of sleep and I was not making a lot of sacrifices at that time. Do not recommend, because again, burnout, it was not fun. I am now getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night and my Oura Ring has never been kinder to me. Let me tell you, 2 months ago when I first got my Oura Ring, 6 months ago for those first 4 months, it was stressed all the time. It was always stressed. I had never looked at the app and my Oura Ring ever said I was relaxed, ever, or recovered, which if you don't know what an Oura Ring is, it tracks your sleep, it tracks your health. It basically tracks all of your metrics and stats for you. And it tells you, you know, it measures your heart rate, it keeps your temperature, and it just tells you what kind of state of stress you're in and how your body's functioning and all these things. It just always said my body was stressed all the time, no matter what I did. If I was working out, obviously it said I was stressed, but even when I wasn't working out, it still said I was stressed all the time. I was in a state of constant chronic stress. When I started implementing changes 2 months ago, it took a little bit, but a mixture of getting adequate sleep and then all of these other things, I am more relaxed than ever, and I've never trained hard, or I haven't trained this hard in a while, and I'm more relaxed than I ever have been. If that's not confirming that these little habits over time are working, I don't know what is. Like, my heart feels so full when my Oura Ring is like, you're relaxed, this means you're balanced. Literally, I had a long run 2 days ago, and I looked at my Oura Ring after I had showered or whatever, expecting it to be like, oh, you're still in a heightened state because you just had a big workout. It said I was relaxed. Y'all, I was so happy. I was so happy. I was like, oh my gosh, it feels like my body is finally functioning the way it's intended to function, because I'm feeding it the way it's supposed to be fed. I'm sleeping the way it's supposed to sleep. Like, I'm doing the things that the Lord intended of how our body should operate after so long of not doing that and just following my own agenda. And obviously that failed me. I don't know why I thought that I knew better than God. And don't we just love when we find ourselves in periods of times where we think we know better than God? Isn't that just so silly of us? Isn't the human brain just so silly? Isn't that just hilarious of us? Why do we do that to ourselves? Why? And we never learn. That's the thing, we never learn. And the thing is, I'll probably do it again. I'll definitely do it again. You know why? Because I'm not perfect. I'm human. And that's something that I'm learning right now. With that being said, in this training block, the runs have been going so great, but when I have an off run, it gets me down. I had a bad run today. I've got some toenails that are giving me some problems right now. And so it hurts when I run, but I can still train through it, but I'm not able to like push myself as hard as I want to, because I need to be mindful that I'm training on injured toenails and I don't want to make things worse by pushing myself harder. So I'm just maintaining the fitness that I need to, meaning I'm going on easy runs and keeping the mileage high, but going on easy runs so that I'm able to allow those things to heal, but still keep the cardiovascular fitness up. But man, it stinks. It's hard. It's so hard. I was talking to Ryan this morning and I was like, why do I feel sad that my run was bad? But I know that I'm dialing it back because I have to get better. And he's like, well, these are just the things that happens. No one talks about it though. So this is me talking about it. Okay, people, what you see on social media, I say it all the time, but it is a highlight reel and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer and talk about the bad things, but I am going to talk about the bad things because people need to know that it's not all sunshine and rainbows and cute outfits and fun things, even though I do love to put on a cute outfit and do my hair cute and be fun and light on social media. It's also so hard. And when you have a bad run, it stinks so bad. So on the grand scheme of things, yes, this training block has been so great. I feel great. I'm running fast for me. I mean, fast is subjective, you know, but for my personal goals, my runs are feeling great, but when I have a bad one, it gets me down bad. It gets me down bad. But I cannot let that affect my day because then I'm idolizing it and I'm right back where I started. And so I think being hard on yourself to a certain extent is okay, because it means you hold yourself to a high standard. It means that you have goals. It means that you want to achieve things that not everybody else wants to achieve. But we have to give ourselves grace, and we have to remember that God defines us, not a run, and not our expectation of how we should perform on that run. So on the hard days and on the bad runs, I have them. I will always have them. I had one today. Those are the things that I remember. The other thing that I've been doing in this training block is I'm only listening to Christian content or content that doesn't lead me down bad paths. For example, a musical theater album. Like, I listened to The Music Man the other day, and I wouldn't classify that as Christian content, but it's like golden age musical theater. It's not something that I'm convicted about listening to. If you are convicted about listening to it, then don't listen to it. But I'm very, very intentional about what I'm putting in my ears, because I'm spending a lot of time listening to things, and sometimes I don't feel like listening to a podcast about how to read the Bible. But it's the same thing as not always wanting to run. It's like, okay, but you're still gonna do it. And then I always end up feeling better after. I always end up not regretting doing that. But the thing is, who I am as a person, it's directly influenced by what I listen to and what I'm intaking. And I notice a difference in my spirit, what I say, how I think about myself when I listen to biblical things versus when I don't. And so for me, it's not worth sacrificing my character for a temporary pleasure of what I'm hearing in my ears. Now, there's a lot of Christian content out there that I love listening to, but sometimes it's really tempting to listen to the pop culture podcast or the gossip podcast, but that's not always the thing that I want to listen to. Like, it's just not. And so there are those sacrifices that have to be made, but those sacrifices are so small in the grand scheme of things, and it's a very privileged sacrifice to make. And so, yeah, it's just something I've come to terms with at this point, that I'm directly influenced by what I listen to, and that's that on that, period. The other thing that I'm doing in this marathon training block is I am taking my rest and recovery serious throughout the day. I would always try to be mobile, like all the time. During engagement season, I was like, oh, well, I could fit in a walk right here. I could go do this. Or even asking friends like, oh, do you want to go play pickleball? Or do you want to do this? Or blah, 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 blah. Always trying to be mobile all the time. Now I'm really serious about, okay, I ran this morning. I need to give my body time to rest and recover. Let's go get coffee. Let's sit. I'm going to sit and work. I'm not going to do housework for the next 2 hours because I need to sit down. I'm very, very serious about those things. And it's allowing my body to trust itself again and have time to recover so that it can come back stronger the next day. And my body's like, thank you so much, girl, because you are being so mean to us for so long. And that's not the case anymore. Praise Jesus for that. I think all these things are a direct result of the Holy Spirit informing me and me finally having enough space in my brain to listen to it. You know, when the race comes, there's a lot of personal growth that has been going on with me mentally. But this race that I'm going to run here at the end of October is a redemption race. It is a recovery race. It is a you can get out of that rut with Jesus kind of race. And I'm so excited for what's to come. I'm so excited for the future of running for me. I feel like it's very bright. I'm going to only say positive things because the tongue holds a lot of power, and what we say holds a lot of power. I don't believe in manifestation. I don't believe in speaking things into existence. I believe that God has the ultimate plan and that I'm a part of that plan. But I do believe in what we say having a direct effect on us and what we believe. And so I am boldly going to proclaim that the future of running for me is very, very bright, but it's not going to be if I don't start it with Jesus. And so I think that's the biggest overarching theme of this entire podcast is, yeah, running update, things have been great, but why? Because I'm not relying on myself or my plan. I am relying on truth. I am starting with the person who knows me better than I know myself and who made my body. So if I am filling myself up with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is informing me and giving me nudges and gut feelings of what I should do and what I should not do and how I should train and how I shouldn't train and what I should eat and what I shouldn't eat and what I should be doing and not doing, why would I not listen to that? Because the Holy Spirit is God, right? Three in one, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Kind of confusing, but kind of not in the same breath. It's very simple yet very intricate. That's a conversation topic for another podcast. But if Holy Spirit is God and God is Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit lives in me and the Holy Spirit is like, hey, maybe you shouldn't run today, or hey, maybe you should push yourself a little harder during this run today, why would I not listen to that? Because the person who is telling me that is the person who created my body and who knows how my body operates, who literally knows every single intricate detail of my body. And he only wants what's best for us. He only wants good for us. He delights in what we delight in. He wants us to not necessarily be happy. Like, following Jesus doesn't mean that you have this ticket to have a happy life with no struggles, but he wants us to delight in him. He doesn't want to see us, like, it pains him when we are in pain. And so I'm going to trust that. And I have for this training block. I finally allow myself to surrender and trust. And it's not a coincidence that this is the best I've felt in a while. There's no scientific fact that you can tell me that is going to convince me that the result of how I feel and how I'm training right now isn't God. Obviously, there are a lot of factors I've changed that have a result of that as well. But those were all stemmed from, call me crazy or call me a Christian. Whatever you want to call me, do it. All I know is that I'm calling Jesus all the time for everything. And that's on period. Now it's time for the high and low of my week, because that's how we always end this podcast. The low of my week, my toenails are really throbbing recently, and it's not fun. I think they're about to fall off, hoping they're not infected. I think there's just a lot of trauma going on my toes right now because it's just constantly beating the pavement. But I did get a pair of new shoes and they're small for me. So after I ran my long run in them, that's when my toes started hurting. So I kind of know I did this to myself, but yeah, it's painful. So after this, I'm going to go ice them, and then I'm going to soak them in some Epsom salts in a nice big bowl of warm water, which is actually going to feel really, really good. So my feet will thank me. Pray for my toes, please. Please pray for my toenails. I know it's kind of a weird prayer request, but if you need a prayer request to add to your prayer list, Abby's toenails on her big toes, if you want. Anyways, my high is that my birthday was this week. And yesterday, I'm filming this not on Tuesday when we upload, but for me in this current moment in time, it was yesterday. My family threw me a surprise birthday party. It was a surprise birthday party and going away party, but then the going away part kind of got scratched out because we're not actually going away anymore. So then it was just a birthday party. So I was like feeling great, but it was really, really sweet. Ryan texted my family and was like, I want to do a surprise party for Abby. And so then they all kind of planned something and I walk into the house. I had no idea, which usually with Ryan, it's kind of, I love him so much, but he's not very good at keeping secrets. Not that he'll tell me, but his actions just show it. Like whenever he was getting ready to propose to me, he was acting so weird. I mean, he was acting so weird. He'll tell you he wasn't, but he was. Okay. So I just kind of like know when things are up. I had no idea. He was doing so great. And all of my friends who were there, I had like seen them periodically around this time as well. No one gave away anything. Like it was great. So I walk in, my family has some decorations up and I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all really went all out. And then my mom has this wall that kind of blocks off like when you first walk in and then you see the rest of the house. So then I come on the other side of the wall and everyone goes, surprise! And I was like, oh my gosh, it was crazy. It was a really, really big shock, but it was so sweet to see all of our friends there. And now I'm so happy we're not leaving because it was so sweet to just have that reminder and feel celebrated and have people around you that want to celebrate you. It's such a great blessing. And it took me a while to get here. I had a lot of ups and downs with friends. And if that's a podcast episode that you guys want to hear about, I'd love to talk about that. I love to talk about things in my past. I just have to be careful about talking about people because number one, I don't want to gossip, but number two, I don't want to air out information that other people may not want aired out. But if you're interested in past friendships or friendship phases that I've gone through or relationship phases that I've gone through, I'd love to talk about it. So let me know in the comments if you want to see something like that. Where I'm at right now with our friends, we just have a really, really sweet community around us and a lot of people who are in similar stages of life, a lot of people who are past the stage of life that Ryan and I are in right now, who are great mentors and friends, and then people who may not have reached that phase of life that we're in right now, that it's just like we're both pouring into each other and it's just so great. The friendships that build you up are so impactful and special. And so that's been really, really great and was such a great reminder yesterday to just to be around everyone and be surrounded by so much love. I felt so unworthy to receive so much celebration, but it was really great. And so that was definitely my high. We had lots of good food, made lots of memories. Yeah, it was great. Now I'm just looking forward to Dancing with the Stars tonight, because when you watch this, if you watch this on a Tuesday, that means Dancing with the Stars is tonight. And I must tell you guys that I'm a sympathy voter. I am. Sue me. I can't help it. Listen, okay? There are some people with some really great talent, but you just can't convince me that I don't want to see these sweet souls on the screen, okay? There are some contestants that may not be as physically blessed, okay, as some other dancers, but their personality makes up for it, and therefore that's why they have my vote. Okay. So when you're voting for Dancing with the Stars and when you're watching, just know Abby is voting for the heart. She is putting her vote in for the soul that goes into the performances and the dedication and who they are as a human being and a person. But I'm not going to say what team I'm on just yet because I need a couple more weeks until I decide whose team I'm on. However, I have been voting for this past week based on the heart. Do with that what you will. Talk amongst yourselves. Let me know if you want me to talk about my past in the comments and tell me who, what team you're voting for Dancing with the Stars. Maybe we'll do a Dancing with the Stars episode. Should I do a Dancing with the Stars episode? I want to be on Dancing with the Stars one day. Okay, I'm done. I need to stop. I'm a runner. I don't dance anymore. Cheers to good lattes, good conversations, and a great God. I love you. Jesus loves you. And that's life.